Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And today on the podcast, we are going to talk about turnoffs, pet peeves, those things that just get under our skin and how these annoying yet just life-based things have actually inspired some of the best stories, the best storytellers, you know, those things that just bug us. These things can be the reason that something totally crashes and burns, why there isn't going to be a second date, for example, or it could land someone on the cover of Forbes. They're very versatile turnoffs. It's interesting. So we're going to talk about the things that bug us today. But before I launch into all of that, take us on a nice little journey back in time to the times of Jane Austen, for example. A lot of things are going to happen. But before I do that, I'm going to talk about something that I wasn't even anticipating talking about when I woke up this morning, but something just happened on the subway where I was, and I want to talk about it. So we're back in the present for a moment. I just got off the subway a few hours ago. I had taken it uptown to my workout. So I was doing my personal training this morning up in Bryant Park. So I hopped on the subway. I'm here downtown. So I take it probably like four or five stops up. I kind of forget. But anyway, I was taking it back downtown after my workout. And something went down that honestly really goes hand in hand with this episode. So we're just going to launch into it. So I don't mean to laugh because it was really something that was, it was a little bit nerve-wracking, honestly, just seeing this go down. Of course, you hear stories about people being rude and people being, you know, just certain things, especially with the pandemic. But I witnessed something that I want to talk about. So I was sitting on one end of the subway car and this all kind of went down on the other end of the subway car. Subway cars can be kind of like, they're definitely not huge, but you can still hear what's going on the other end and still be far enough away where you can't, you're not like in the thick of it, okay? So I'm sitting on one end. I see these two people. It's like probably one stop after I had just gotten on. So we had been sitting for a little bit, just like only one stop. And I see these two people. We stop at another station. Two people are getting on with these like large chairs. Looks like they had just like bought them from someone Facebook Marketplace style or something and are like lugging them home. Like I've seen this a million times. People always just like lug their stuff through the subway and you know, all that. It's very normal to see. So these two people are getting on. A guy comes in front and then the girl behind with another chair. And so as the girl is getting on the train, I hear someone else yell, "Hold the door, hold the door." And behind her, I'm like kind of craning my neck. I never wear headphones on the subway because I like to hear what's going on. I also like to hear like if someone's going to be creepy to me or something. It's like a good safety measure, but it's also good because I just like taking in the sounds of New York, what people are talking about. I'm super creepy. Kind of goes hand in hand with people watching. You know, you need to hear. So anyway, didn't have my headphones in. So I heard this whole thing go down. And basically this guy was a ways back. Like he was still on the stairs coming into the station, like pretty far away. and he's yelling, hold the door, hold the door. And it looks like he has a very obvious limp and like doesn't look well. Not sure what's going on there, but he just, whatever. He is having a hard time getting on the stairs. This girl turns around, hears him say this, is so kind to, she's like literally carrying a chair, like holding a chair in one arm, puts her arm like on the door to hold it open. And what happens with the subway is like, if you're not familiar, if you're, you know, in the middle of it, but they're about to leave, the subway door is going to still close and then just like hit you and go back. So this happened a few times to this poor girl. She's like holding the door for this guy. And the guy finally makes it to the door. He comes in. He's like, thank you. God bless you. He says all these things. Man sits down and he sits like relatively close to where the girl and the guy with the chairs ended up sitting. And a lot of other people were also sitting. And it wouldn't have been weird except for this guy just like didn't have a mask on. Like his mask was down, like around his chin, like just not fully on his face. Easily could have been on his face. Like he could have just pulled it up, you know, easy. It's not like it's not anywhere. Like he had a mask slightly on, but it just like wasn't on his face properly. So anyway, people are seeming a bit like, I don't know, like a little uncomfortable. Honestly, I see people move. Some girl like that was sitting right next to him moved to the other side, just like just to get away from him. I don't know. It's not even like a personal thing. It's like if you are on the subway, first of all, like people talk badly about the subway all the time because they're like, it's gross. It's like how you get sick. It's disgusting, whatever. I don't agree with that because they actually do clean the subway every single night between like 2 and 4 a.m. or something. They like deep clean it. And I see once the subway, like once you reach the last stop, they're all in there like cleaning it. So I do feel good about it. If you're sitting, if you're not touching anything and you're wearing your mask, whatever. I don't find an issue with it. I love public transportation. I really do, okay? Unlike Carrie Bradshaw, I am not like her in that respect. I do take the subway every day. But anyway, back to the story. So the guy doesn't have his mask on, and one of the people, so one of the chair people, the guy, not the girl, just very kindly, very casually says to the guy, hey, can you put your mask on? Like, he doesn't want to move. He just sat down. He's this heavy chair. He's like, can you just pull your mask up? Like, very simply, nothing too crazy. And the man that the girl had just held the door for, like, this is like, she had just like done such a great thing of kindness for this man. And he looks at the guy, the guy being the companion of the girl with the chair. So the chair guy, and says to him, like, a lot of bad words. Like he is just cursing like crazy to this guy, like so angry that he suggested that he would not put his mask on. Like this whole thing. And I can't really hear exactly what he's saying because I am a little ways away. But he was just so angry at this guy for very casually saying, can you pull your mask up? And I just could not believe it because after this really great moment of kindness that I really love seeing, like I love seeing moments of kindness, especially in New York, because I feel like people give New Yorkers a very bad rap for having like no kindness in their body, like just being super blunt, super impatient and just, you know, rude. And we have a bad reputation as being that way. And so when I see something just super pure and kind, like this girl literally holding the door for like 5 minutes and getting smushed by the door every time it closes, it was like just so beautiful to see that this girl would do that for some guy she doesn't know. And this guy, what does he do to repay? Like he is just absolutely destroying this guy, like this very normal, very decent guy that is just carrying a chair, okay? And I just could not believe what I was seeing. I was, again, down the train. So someone, I think I do remember seeing a guy like near this happening, just like trying to break up the verbal fight that started happening between these two people. It was such a thing, but like I just could not believe what I was seeing. And the guy gets off, the mean guy, the rude guy gets off at the next stop. And the one chair guy like stands up with the girl, that they both stand up and they're moving their chairs towards me, towards like the middle of the car. And I hear the guy say to the girl, see, that's what happens when you do things like that for strangers, like whatever. And I didn't hear what he said after that, but it was just, it broke my heart because this girl just did what she thought was right. And not only is her boyfriend slash brother, or whoever the heck this guy was, getting like ripped on by this random stranger dude that she was nice to, but also she's getting ripped on for being nice to the guy. And I saw this all go down. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like that is probably my biggest pet peeve when people are just rude, when it's so easy to not be. Like, it is so easy to just take, like, okay, maybe it isn't easy to take criticism. That's what I was going to say. And I think that just kind of seeing, diagnosing what was going on here from my random bystander point of view, I feel like the guy just like really being rude to the chair guy was because he got criticized. Like, this guy clearly cannot handle criticism. And I'm not really sure what was going on with him mentally or just anything physically. Regardless of that, though, it's just, it's really not that hard to be a nice person. I mean, it does take some effort. It does take some, you know, in situations like holding a door or saying something out of turn and just like just saying something that someone needs to hear, it can be tricky, but it's just, gosh, I don't know. Everyone's sitting on that train. Like, of course, if something really, really happened, someone would have stood up and done something. I know for a fact, because New Yorkers, we're jaded, but we do that stuff. But, you know, it just even taking all that in just has really made me, like, I haven't stopped thinking about this since it happened a few hours ago. Like, I was in the shower thinking about this. And as I was getting off the train, so I was getting off at the same stop as the chair people. And as the, you know, they got off, or I got off first because I was kind of like next to the door. And I turn around and I said to the girl, like, the guy was being a little bit rude, I will say, he was nice at first. And then he kind of like his facade, like he flipped off the guy, like gave him the middle finger on the way out, like the whole thing. But I look at the girl and I said to her, I was like, that was a good thing that you did. And she looked at me, and that's the last time I will probably ever see that girl ever again. Like, we will probably never cross paths again. And she's lugging the chair through the subway station. But like, I just wanted her to know that she did a good thing. Like, the world is going to crush you, step on you, spit in your face, and you still just treat people better than they're treating you. Because honestly, it makes me feel better going to bed at night knowing that I was the bigger person, even if I get no thank you. Because a lot of times it's what you do is very thankless. Like, I remember one summer that I was cleaning toilets at a church camp, because that's what I did for fun. No, I really just, I don't know. I really was super, I'm not religious anymore. I just don't really practice as much as I did. I really needed that for much of my youth because I didn't feel like I had anything else. And I've learned more recent years that you can have faith and still do other things. And I was gung-ho, like, let me do everything with the church, like, which is fine. I think it's great to do that. But I have since rebalanced my life a little bit, which I think is fine. Personally, it's what works for me. So anyway, back in this camp, I was, you know, plunging toilets and cleaning bathrooms. And it was the most thankless job ever. Like, I wasn't even getting paid for it. And I just remember the people that I was working with, like, us just feeling, though, this surge of, like, I don't even know what to call it, but like adrenaline to do something good, especially knowing that no one's going to thank you, because it's so personal. It's like, I'm doing this for me, honestly. Like, yes, I'm doing it for other people, but I'm also doing it for me. It's very interesting. But back to the point of this episode, the turnoffs, pet peeves, things that bug us, that, like, the whole thing this morning on the subway has to be like top of my list. Biggest pet peeve is when people are just rude for no reason. Like, I get it. I mean, maybe this guy had a bad morning. Maybe this guy, like, has had a bad life. I don't know. But still, it's my biggest pet peeve. Someone is super kind to you, asks you something super simple. Like, yes, we have pride, we have our egos, and we have things that happen to us. But just do the right thing. Like, when it comes to something just so easy, it's like you don't even, oh my God, it's like the people that don't return the shopping cart, okay? Or the people that just, like, if they're checking out at Whole Foods, I noticed this yesterday, I always put the cart away, like, or even like the little baby cart that you get in New York, because like I really only buy what I can carry home. That's just like my rule of thumb here. So I always have the cart with the wheels, and I always put the cart back. We've talked about this in a whole episode before of the podcast, but like, are you the kind of person that puts the cart back? Like, will you get kicked out and banned from Whole Foods for life if you don't put the cart back? No, you will not. Like, you'll be allowed back, but someone else will have to just deal with it for you. And someone who's, of course, that's one of their things they probably are paid to do. But if everyone just returned the cart, they would do something else. Like, there's other things to do at a grocery store. But yeah, you won't get banned, but how much easier would it be for someone else? And just, it would just make you feel good if you just do it. Just put the freaking cart back, okay? I don't know. I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but anyway, that's like my biggest pet peeve when it comes to just like life. And I want to talk more about that today, more about just those things that bug us, the things that people do, because ultimately each and every one of us was raised differently. And as we know from psychology, from things your therapist has probably told you throughout your life, a lot of the habits, a lot of the ways that we live and are, and a lot of the things that we value, it all is kind of started. It all takes root in childhood. Like the seeds are sown then. So then when we grow up, we embody them and it, you know, we, yeah. So how we're raised is really, it's not everything, but it is a lot of it. It tells a lot of the story. Of course, you can change. People can change sometimes, not everybody. But I think that a lot of the, just the way that you are is instilled back when you're young. That being said, we're going to encounter a lot of different people in our lives, a lot of different people, people that have empathy, people that don't, people that put the cart back, people that don't, people that are rude for no reason on the subway after someone goes out of their way to be kind to them. There's people like that too. And it's just, we're each so different. And it just is so hard for me to wrap my head around that sometimes. But today we're going to talk about those things that people do that they either know they're doing to piss someone off or they don't, or, you know, you see it on a dating app and you're like, oh, you'd be perfect if you just didn't do that. If you didn't post a straight-faced gym selfie, or if you didn't post a fish on your dating profile, like you'd be so perfect if you didn't do that. And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how turnoffs, pet peeves, those things can ultimately be the reason someone skyrockets to success, like something that they saw that they didn't like, something that they experienced that they're like, ugh, I don't dig that. They use that thing to propel them onto the cover of Forbes. So we're going to talk about that as well.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So to give you guys a little glimpse of how I decided to even talk about this at all, I mean, of course, the subway incident was not planned, and I did not think I was going to open with that. But, you know, there is another reason why I wanted to talk about pet peeves and just the things that bug us today. I was recently scrolling on Hinge. I feel like every good story that I launch into starts with that. I feel like I'm always saying this. I love just like scrolling. I'm really inspired by weird things on various apps, but Hinge being one of them. And so I was scrolling on Hinge and I, you know, was going through all the prompts, going through just the guys' pages. Like I really do look with like a fine-tooth comb. I like to just diagnose, not diagnose, it's the wrong word, but I like to like look at someone's profile and kind of like figure out or kind of imagine who they'll be in person, kind of like give them some life, make them spring off the page sort of thing. And so I noticed just from like sitting there on kind of like a Hinge scrolling bender that a lot of guys in New York have their pet peeves listed on their profile. And I don't know why I just thought this, but I was like, that's like my own pet peeve. Like my pet peeve is that a lot of guys have their pet peeves listed and have like 35 things under their list, like a lot of things that get on their nerves. And granted, I probably have 30 things that get on my nerves, but am I going to put them out there on the profile? Like, I don't know. I was just thinking about how interesting that is. And of course, not every guy in the city, but it was a frequent one that I saw. And it got me thinking about turnoffs, especially those in relationships and on dates. And I was just wondering, I'm like, wait, what if I've done something that's a turnoff, like on a date? And I didn't know because they didn't list it on their profile. But I also kind of shut that down real quick in my head. I was like, of course, you could be the ripest, juiciest peach, Katie, and someone will always not like peaches. They'll be freaking allergic to peaches, and that doesn't mean you can stop being a peach because you are a peach. Like some things you truly cannot help or change, but it was just interesting. I was just wondering about turnoffs. Truly, you really don't know that you're doing something on their list unless they tell you. Before Hinge existed, where lots of people just lay it out for you in a list, how would you ever know? I guess unless you get on the conversation over dinner. And would doing one of these things on the list be a total deal breaker for these people? Like what if they find their perfect person, but they are a loud chewer? I feel like I always see loud chewers on their list, like on the pet peeves list. Like, can people be petty like that? And funny enough, it's like all these things just fell in my lap. I was on Reddit. You guys know I love Reddit, specifically this one page called Ask Reddit. And there was a question on there. The question was, basically, it's a question and a lot of people just respond, and people usually respond like anonymously on there. So it's kind of like a message board, but people are just so freaking funny on Reddit. I don't know why. They're just hilarious. So someone asked a question. They said, what's the pettiest reason that you refused to date someone? The pettiest reason. And I wanted to read you guys some of the responses. So keyword petty, okay? First response, she had the same name as my mom, and this had 11,000 up ticks or like up votes. And similarly, so like underneath this in the thread was, I've been married twice. Both were named Kim. I don't even talk to Kims now, all Kimmed out. And then someone else said, my mom's boyfriend is Brad. Brad's sister is named Susan. Brad's first ex-wife is named Susan. Brad's second ex-wife is also named Susan. My mom's name is Susan. Sounds like that guy has had his fair share of Susans in his life. I mean, but this begs the question, like, what is in a name? Can a name be a turn on or turn off? Like, what if you meet your person and they just have a name that you just can't stand? Like, do you start liking the name because you start liking the person? Like, do certain names remind you of certain people? For me, yes. But how interesting, like, what is in a name? Another one, all the words in every text she sent were capitalized. Trust me, it got annoying. So like the first letter of each word. And I wonder, guys, I've seen this on social media before. A lot of celebrities do this. Like, are they literally capitalizing each first letter on purpose? Like, is their keyboard set up to do that? Or are they literally pushing the caps button each time? Like, I've really genuinely wondered this. Okay, another person. I was the receiver of the petty reason, not the giver. When I was in college, a girl wouldn't go on a second date with me because my dorm room was too clean. I don't know if this is BS. Someone said, not me, but someone refusing to date me because, quote, it's weird you don't have Instagram. I don't think it would be a deal breaker for me if someone didn't have Instagram. It might be like a slight red flag. I'm just wondering, like, why not, I guess? Because I mean, I'm also a social media, like a very big social media user, as you guys know. So I don't know. I think it honestly, though, I will say, I think it'd be kind of refreshing. I think that it'd be nice to be with someone that isn't a really crazy social media user. Okay, someone else said, every time I took a bite of food, he asked me a question, after which he stared at me while I finished chewing. The date went on like this for an hour. He had a supernatural sense of poor timing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hope you're a cute chewer. Okay, someone said, dated a guy like this And whenever I reached for my drinks, this is like underneath the previous one, every time I reached for a drink, he'd grab my hand and hold it. He also kept trying to cuddle me while I was eating my food in a public restaurant. At the end, he asked why I hadn't finished my drink. That guy was weird. Oh, man. Social cues. Okay, next one. Someone refused to date me after they found out I wasn't a fan of rugby. Interesting. Someone said his hair was prettier than mine, and that had 18,000 upvotes. Okay, I don't know if I would. I mean, I guess it depends on like how pretty and how is like he obsessed with his hair? I don't know. Okay, next one. He would call me his beautiful angle. He really didn't know how to spell angel, so for 5 months I put up with being an angle. Oh my God, do you correct someone when they continuously use like the wrong word? Like there are some words like that people can like they just don't even know or just the wrong way to spell it. And like, I don't know if I would, I would have to correct them. I mean, for 5 months, I couldn't do it. Maybe for a couple of weeks and then we can like laugh about it when we're like slightly buzzed or something. Like, oh yeah, you know, you spell angel wrong. Like I would have to say it. Like my blood would boil. I could not deal with it. Like I would need to say it. Like it would be on the tip of my tongue always. We would get in a fight or something, I'm sure. And I'd be like, well, you don't even know how to spell angel. So it would definitely slip out. Okay, someone else said, he didn't believe Kalamata olives were olives, citing that they were too pointy and didn't have a hole in one end. He didn't believe Kalamata olives were olives. Oh my God. I can imagine the mansplaining now. I can just see it. Someone else said, didn't use the turn signal ever. That, my friends, kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying earlier about the subway, like just bad manners for no reason. Like I get it. Sometimes I just, if I'm like autopiloting, driving the same road in my hometown that I've driven forever. And like maybe late at night, no one's there, like literally no one's behind me, but never use the turn signal. Like that is just bad manners. It literally takes a flick of the finger to use your turn signal. That would be a pet peeve of mine as well. Anyway, so I just wanted to read that thread because it was very just like on point with what we were talking about. But of course, these things, I mean, is it petty for some of these things to be a reason you refuse to date someone? Like someone has better hair than you. Someone has too clean of a room, which is bizarre. Someone has the same name as your mom. Like what if you literally met someone that is perfect for you, but they had one of these things on their list? Like what would happen? And I'm very much a believer in the fact that you will meet someone that is, of course, your version of perfect, which isn't going to be perfect, okay? There's going to be things that are just going to be a little, just something that you, it's like a big pet peeve of yours. Like that one episode of Sex and the City where Harry and Charlotte are together finally and, you know, spoiler alert, sorry, Harry and Charlotte are together and he leaves tea bags all over the place and she is just so ticked off by it but won't say anything until like the very last minute. And then after that, he starts just like sitting naked on all the furniture and that drives her up the wall as well. So it's just those little things. Like you're going to have that. You're still going to love him anyway. I'm not saying that you're going to find someone without fault, but is there something so extreme, like of a turnoff to you that you just couldn't do it? But kind of shifting gears a bit, what if I told you that turnoffs, pet peeves, petty hatred of simple things, these things have inspired some of the best stories in history? Jane Austen, for example. Jane Austen being widely known for writing Pride and Prejudice, another novel called Emma. These are now movies as well, among many others. She had like 6 really prominent books, had written about, I think she wrote about 12 or 13 books in her life, but you know, she was always with a pen in her hand, always writing something, always writing down very bold declarations, always challenging norms. She had huge opinions for that time. And so she created characters in her books and then which were made into movies that also held super bold opinions. And some quotes from her, she said, "Laugh as much as you choose, but you will not laugh me out of my opinion." So she was very firm. And she also said, quote, "I hate to hear you talk about all women as if they were fine ladies instead of rational creatures. None of us want to be in calm waters all our lives." So that one she took very literally into creating characters, women specifically, that really challenged gender roles of the time. You know, Pride and Prejudice, for example, she gave her lead character roles to these super bold women, not fragile, weak, sensitive, overly dramatic women whose place was just bearing the children, keeping the house, spreading the gossip. Like she really shifted, you know, what it meant to be a woman in this time. And she turned her cheek away from stories that painted a woman as someone that was weak. And these characters boiled her blood. They were her biggest pet peeve, I would say, and inspired her to write something new, something fresh, something that gave women the credit they deserved. And so this pet peeve of hers turned into 13 novels, six of them being major. And these novels challenged the norms of the time. They gave her a household name as well. Turnoffs have inspired some of the world's greatest novels, movies, political speeches, businesses, etc. You name it, it's been inspired by just someone being annoyed with something. It's so interesting. People can turn that energy into something productive. So another story, there's this woman named Sarah Blakely, and she is the creator of Spanx, which, as we know, many of us know, an intimate apparel company, shapewear company, etc. I have at least 5 pairs of Spanx leather leggings. They are incredible. I love the control top tights as well. I just love feeling sucked in. It just makes me feel more confident. Like those Spanx leggings I have, I'll walk around town in them and feel like a million bucks. Like they make me feel amazing. And crazy enough, like these wouldn't even exist if Sarah wasn't annoyed by something. It was born from a pet peeve of Sarah's. She had accepted this job, this is back when she was a bit younger, accepted a job with an office supply company called Donka, where she was a door-to-door machine saleswoman. The job was in Florida. And if you've ever been to Florida in the middle of summer, my grandparents live there, it is just unbearably hot and humid and just really sweaty, like all summer long. Like it's really beautiful, I love it, but it's also very hot. And so to this job, Sarah wore pantyhose under her dresses, you know, to suck her in, to make her feel more put together for various reasons. And if you've ever experienced wearing tights in super hot weather with like open-toed heels, all sweaty and like sliding around in your shoes, feeling super uncomfortable, it is just not fun. And so Sarah also, she didn't like this, but she also didn't like the appearance of the tights paired with open-toed shoes, like how the stocking toe look through the shoes appeared. She didn't like that. But she did appreciate the way that the control top tights eliminated her panty lines, made her body appear firmer under her dresses, skirts, pants, etc. And so she wanted to come up with a solution that would give her the best of both worlds. So she experimented with cutting off the feet of her pantyhose with scissors while wearing them under a new pair of slacks. So her feet would look nice in her heels, but she would also get that support and get that firmness that she was looking for, the control top situation. She would have all of that, kind of the best of both worlds. And, you know, she had success with this. It definitely gave her the result that she wanted. But she felt like underneath, like the bottoms of the tights would kind of roll up as she moved, which wasn't great. So she refined the idea even further. She changed up the fabric. She cropped them differently. She did all these things, obviously, to make them what they are today. But she went through a bunch of different trial and error situations. But this was all because of something that she disliked. This is because of something that got under her skin, kind of literally over top of her skin, and just bugged her. And so she decided to come up with a solution. And in 2012, Sarah was photographed for the cover of Forbes magazine for being the youngest self-made female billionaire in the world. Okay, that's insane. All because of a pet peeve. And Spanx had made $4 million in sales its first year, $10 million in sales its second year, all because of this. So in conclusion here, kind of, we're not done yet, but sort of, turnoffs can write great stories, but only if you're willing to keep that pen going across the page, keep writing it, not stop when you're getting annoyed and then just leave it at that. You have to keep running with it and not let the pet peeve itself be the end of the sentence. You never know what could really be something great. You really don't. So back to dating, like we were talking about earlier, I've gotten a bit petty about my preferences, kind of relating to the Reddit feed. You know, I've gotten petty. I have been judging a book by its cover a little too much recently. I will admit it. I'm not perfect. Like, I've had some moments where I'm like, okay, they're great. Oh, they're 5'8". Like, is it petty of me to not even try to date them because of that? Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. So petty. Especially considering I'm 5'5". It's still taller. Like, I don't know. It's not that I need someone 6 feet, but in my mind, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, when I'm wearing 3 to 4 inch heels, like, I still want to feel small. And what is that? It's probably like an evolutionary thing of like women wanting to feel a certain way, whatever. I don't even care where it comes from, because it is petty. It is super petty. And I know I'm going to meet someone someday that is 5'8", maybe 5'7", and I'm going to fall in love with them, and that's going to be it for me. Very Charlotte and Harry style from Sex and the City. But yeah, I'm that way with other things too. Like, oh, they have a ton of emojis on their profile. Their first photo is of them just like with the boys, like so blurry. Their eyes are like bloodshot, like looking like they – like partying is like what they majored in college. Like, there are just certain things to me that are turnoffs. And maybe it's petty. Maybe it's like, okay, that's warranted. Like, you know, there's certain things like politics and things that – definitely are deal breakers in certain ways. But I thought it'd be interesting to ask you guys your pet peeves. Sorry, I have this new little charm on my phone and it's like clacking around. But I wanted to read some of your pet peeves from dating profiles. I thought it was so interesting asking you guys. So I got a lot of responses that were kind of like repeats of one another. A lot of you guys were saying when the guy only has group photos or has no group photos, like have a mix, because if you have like only group photos, it's very hard to tell like which one is the guy that, like, it's very tough to tell. Like, at least crop in, zoom in there somehow, I don't even know, but make it clear, like, okay, which one of you guys am I gonna actually go on a date with? Like, if it's just the same group photo, it's very hard to like play Where's Waldo with it and try to figure out. So, but also if you don't have any group photos, it's like, oh, it's just like, I want to see what your friends are like. Like, do your friend, I don't know. I think a guy having photos of friends points to what's important to me, which is having like friendships are very important to me. So I hope that they're important to you. Like, it's very like reading between the lines sort of thing. Other people said lack of effort on prompts. I think my biggest pet peeve on dating profiles, besides the other things I said, is when someone just like puts a dot. Like, I've noticed they'll just like not fill out the prompt and just put a period or a dot, like some sort of emoji, and not answer the prompt. And that's just like absolute laziness. Like, if you're lazy with the prompts, like, what other things are you lazy with? Okay, get what I'm putting down? Okay. Someone else said, and a lot of you guys said this as well, saying like, I'm competitive about, like, there's like the prompt that's like, I'm competitive about, and you're supposed to say like something, and they say everything. Like, wow. People said gym selfies, holding a fish, a love of the fast food chain Arby's. Yeah, lots of fish holding. You guys hate the fish. See, this might be unpopular, but like, if I see a guy holding a fish, like, it's not going to be a super turnoff, big turnoff to me, because I grew up in a small fishing town. Like, so it's not abnormal. Like, I've seen this my whole life. I don't find it to be weird. I think there's other things that I would find to be weirder / worse. But yeah, hunting photos. I don't love a hunting photo. I really don't. I think that that would be enough for me to not want them, but maybe that's a personal thing. Yeah, overly competitive about everything. Everyone's saying this because I feel like so many guys do that. They also will like put The Office or something. Like, it just gets redundant and it's not even like, yeah. And so I get you guys. I get you. But like, it's just interesting reading through these and thinking, well, like, are we being petty with this? Like, are these pet peeves something that's really a pet peeve? Like, I mean, obviously they are, but like, is it something that will make or break you? Like, if dating apps didn't exist, which they didn't exist for so many years, like, how would we know if someone was the kind of person that would hold a fish on a dating app? Like, we wouldn't know this. Dating apps open a door to seeing someone the way that they see themselves, or that they want, maybe not even that, that they want to see themselves. They want to be portrayed, which, I mean, personally, when I'm drafting my profile as a girl looking for guys, like, I portray myself in a certain way because I want, like, I want the guy to see the best parts of me, maybe. And like, sometimes, like, I don't know, I choose the photos where I look the best, obviously, or like, I feel like I look like a well-rounded person. So dating apps are really just showing the person that you want people to see you as, even if it isn't totally accurate. But that's kind of social media in a nutshell, isn't it?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us, the one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, anyway, though, I think personally I'm going to challenge myself this spring summer to push past some of my previous super petty boundaries, just dip my toe into the world of like just really looking at things maybe further than just like not just settling on the height as being like, okay, that's the reason, or like certain things that I really would never consider previously. Like there are certain things like if they live kind of further away, like deeper in Brooklyn or something, maybe I wouldn't consider them just because of geography and it's just like too far. And I always think kind of long term, like a little bit, you know, I let myself think and wander in that spot and think like, oh, if things, you know, progress later down the road, do I want to be trekking over to like deep, deep, deep in Brooklyn every single time I want to hang out with them? Maybe not. So like I think about those things, but I'm going to dip my toe in trying things, kind of pushing past my pet peeves and seeing how the other half lives. Just kidding. Because I have to say, like, there's certain things. I'm sitting here eating hummus right now. Okay. Like hummus, very casual, very classic, very normal thing to like. But for years, I didn't like hummus. And then one day I was honestly like a little bit drunk eating at dinner, like, and someone had ordered hummus and I tried it. And I'm like, wait, I like this. Why for so many years did I think I didn't like this? Like I thought I didn't like it. Taste buds obviously changed. So anyway, I'm going to challenge myself to work past my petty boundaries. And I think maybe you guys should try it too and see what happens. You never know. It could just be a great story. So kind of in that grain though, I was sitting at dinner the other night with a friend of mine and she was talking about some recent people she's gone on dates with. And one, she was like naming, like just like listing all the positive qualities of this guy that she really enjoyed going on a date with. We're not going on another date, she said to me. And I was like, well, why not? Like, he sounds great. He sounds like a total keeper. And she was like, well, there's one thing and it's super petty of me to say. And I'm like, oh God, what is it? She goes, he doesn't have a good voice. He has a really annoying voice and that is a deal breaker for me. And you feel kind of like guilty. You're like, oh, but this thing, like it really bugs me. Someone will eventually find that person and not feel bugged by their voice. They will maybe love the voice. They will think nothing of it. It won't, you know, annoy them in any way. But yeah, you just gotta, of course, still go out there, get your feet wet, try new things, only to realize you don't like them. So there's this article I actually found on Medium that I'll have linked in the show notes. It was really interesting, so you should definitely check it out. And it says, the author said, when something seriously bothers you, there are three potential reasons why. Number one, you want what someone else has. Number two, you fear or don't understand something. Or three, you see that same quality in yourself. So by critically analyzing, she goes on to say this, by critically analyzing the deeper issues behind our pet peeves, we can learn three things. What we secretly wish for, what we need to learn about others, and what we repress in ourselves. And personally speaking, I think with my more petty pet peeves, so definitely the ones where it's like, I feel a little guilty for feeling this way because I know that some people just like can't help it, or I feel like it really says something not so great about me that I'm complaining about this thing. So the more petty ones, not the they were rude to the waiter, which I think is very real. And it also kind of relates to our Subway story earlier, or our political views don't mesh. Like just the more petty, superficial ones, I think are definitely rooted in fear. And for me, romantically speaking, it's very much like fear of not ending up with the perfect person I've imagined my whole life, and just fear that I'll never find someone that I'm not annoyed with in some way, which like we discussed earlier is just impossible. So I gotta just get that in my head. But, you know, with the ones where it's like, I think honestly, fear is rooted in a lot of the things that I find to be a pet peeve. Like, for example, also like, okay, I'm walking down the street. There's a slow walker in front of me. Someone's walking very slow in front of me, like dragging their feet, have no purpose. And that I feel fear that I'm not going to get somewhere on time. Like I'm fearing being late somewhere because being late causes me a lot of anxiety. So it's something even as simple as that. But I think the other two reasons for something bothering me, number one being I want what someone else has. I remember in the office all the time when I worked corporate, there were some people in the office that were super, super just like on and very peppy and always had an answer for something. And I think, you know, it drove me up the wall. It kind of annoyed me sometimes. But I think the reason for that was because I wanted that sort of energy. Like I wanted the boss to like me because I always had ideas. Like I wanted to be that way. And so it annoyed me that other people were that way. And then also number three, I see that same quality in myself. So sometimes also in the office or just like in life, I see someone being super shy and not speaking their mind, not saying what they really feel, and like dulling themselves for the comfort of others. And I get angry at those people for being like that. But I also think it's because I see that quality in myself sometimes, or when I was younger, I saw that in myself. And so I get angry because I'm like, you could be better. Don't do that. Because it's personal. So it's all just really interesting stuff, good food for thought to think about. Pet peeves, turnoffs, things that get under our skin and bug us can either turn into a beautiful story, the cover of Forbes, or something that ends a relationship or ends dating, like, you know, a reason for no date number two. And it's just wild how they're all kind of rooted in the same feeling. And some can motivate us, some can shut us down. It's really, really also interesting. So from this chat, what I'm going to take with me, what I'm going to think about when I'm just sitting around thinking, pondering, and hopefully you will as well, is I think it's just good. It's good practice for us just to get to know ourselves better, to pay attention to our pet peeves, to the turnoffs in our lives, and don't just let them happen. Ask ourselves why. Why do I feel like this? You know, why is this bothering me so much? And should I let it? Like, should it be something that shuts me down, or like that really is the end of the sentence and doesn't keep going? So yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think we should critically analyze, like the author of that Medium piece said, critically analyze the deeper issues behind these things. And from it, we do learn, I'm going to reiterate what she said, what we secretly wish for, what we need to learn about others, what we need to learn, and what we repress in ourselves. And I think that there's a lot of things that we, whenever like the thought creeps up in our brain, we instantly bat it away because we don't want to deal with it. But with pet peeves, it gives us a reason, like it really does open the door to think about those tough things and have those hard conversations with ourselves. And so yeah, from here, I do plan on challenging myself a bit more in the realms of just giving people a chance and not listening so much to the societal things. I think a lot of the responses that I was seeing both on Reddit and in my DMs when I asked you guys about dating app turnoffs, I think a lot of it is like societal things that we've heard someone say. And so we're like, oh yeah, that must be a bad thing. Like, can't do that. Or we read into things too much sometimes as well. I mean, definitely have your preferences. Don't go with the flow too much. You should know what you like and not settle for things you don't. But I think, you know, I'm always one of those people that says, like, my philosophy really is that I will try anything once. Like, I really will, because you truly don't know. Like that with the hummus situation, like, I tried hummus once, now I'm obsessed with it. So I'll try everything once. And I don't think trying something once is the same thing as settling, as going with the flow too much, like a dead fish. Only a dead fish goes with the flow. I think it's kind of, it's eye-opening to try something once and to give things a chance. Give your pet peeves a chance, okay? Give them a chance. There's so many freaking rom-coms out there with characters that, you know, the heroine or like the female character and the male character in a lot of these, you know, those sorts of films where it's like Sandra Bullock is always the girl or Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant or like someone. And there's always like these two characters that like from the viewer's perspective, we're like, oh, there's no possible way they'll end up together. They're so different. There's no way. But obviously the showrunners, like, or the movie directors, the creators of the plot are like, no, but that's exactly why we're going to make them end up together, because they are not maybe outwardly very obviously compatible, but there's things about them that just fit perfectly. And so they end up together and whatever. So that's just like every movie we've ever freaking seen. So maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe we should consider people that are different from us and that we maybe wouldn't immediately be interested in. Could be something beautiful. Anyway, that's just my food for thought. But I will say, don't put up with rude people on the subway, okay? Don't put up with it. Just ridiculous. I sent a really good positive thought out into the universe after seeing that, and I hope that this girl, wherever she is having a great day. It is like beautiful, sunny 75 in New York today, so I hope she's outside somewhere. But anyway, that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you for listening. I thought this would be a good just little thing for us to think about this week. And I will talk to you guys all next week. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.